This is the Early Edition Podcast with Phil Johnson on AM1150.ca and across the Bell Talk Radio Network.
Big conversation here at AM1150 as we started talking about tips and tipping and the whole concept of something called tip creep, because you're being asked when you're handed that debit machine or credit machine, it used to be 10%. Now it seems to have gone to 15%, 18% and 20%. And I guess it's enough that some people are starting to say, what are we about here? Can't think of anybody that I'd rather be talking with more this morning than Simon Peck. He specializes in studying tips and tipping. He is with the University of Victoria Gustafson School of Business and joins us this morning. Mr. Peck, good morning to you.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
An unusual area of research, and yet I'm sure you've never been busier over the last little while.
Yeah, for me, it's something new that I've started dabbling into in the last couple of years, but it's been super fascinating. And like you said, given the way tipping is spreading, there's going to be a lot to research.
You know, traditionally, we've always tipped people who serve us, our home. I mean, I can remember as a kid that we even tipped the mailman who daily, you know, arrived at the front door with mail and cards and all the rest of it. And at Christmas time, I know my parents always gave him a tip. And you know, we all recognize that the postie has gone the way of the dodo bird. But the reality is you tipped that person. As a kid, my first job as a paper boy, I couldn't wait for Christmas because I gave pretty good service, and so I got some very nice tips at Christmas. But it's expanded way beyond that. I tip my hairdresser, the guys who do my tires in the spring and summer. They work hard at it, and they also check my car underneath and give me notes and so on. So I give them a small tip. Where else do we, or are we sort of traditionally tipping?
Traditionally, it depends on which country you're in, but in Canada, I would say traditionally full-service restaurants, bars, and taxis were also some examples of other places where people would traditionally be prompted to tip and would tip.
But often, that tip is based on the quality of the service or the size of the smile or the speediness of the food arriving at the table or the table being cleared or them checking back and saying, how's your meal, folks, et cetera, et cetera. There is some level of interaction that, in a way, sort of earns that tip, does it not?
I think you're right. Like, typically, people would call that interactive service work. So we used to primarily tip people who did a lot more interaction and a higher degree of service, for sure. That said, a lot of people in those situations maybe tip because they felt it was an obligation or a norm as well.
So when did we suddenly start being pushed upon, pressured, and maybe you've even researched the why and the cause of it? I'm holding out that restaurants and organizations, businesses are more interested in protecting their bottom line and making sure the flow through to the bank is really nice and fat once a month rather than giving it to staff. And so they're looking for me. They're almost guilting me into, in a way, subsidizing the wages of the people who've been doing the work.
So I would say I've seen a big escalation in the opportunities to tip in the last 2 years, for sure, like all over the service industry and even in some retail establishments like cannabis dispensaries, and some liquor stores. And one thing that I think is super important to remember is that the whole gig economy is now based on tipping, right? The conditions are really bad for workers and tips almost like make up for a lot of the pay they're not receiving from the platform. But to answer your question, surprisingly, there's not a lot of research looking at why businesses are prompting people to tip more. My hunch would be similar to yours, that from what we know, it's a really easy way to control costs and pass on some of the responsibility for compensation onto customers who might still buy a product because the sticker price is lower. And then at the end, they're like, okay, I guess I'll tip the 10-20%, but you know, aren't so keen about it in a lot of cases.
Can you tell me, you know, I mean, I'm assuming that I'm not the only person who does what I do, knocking on the door to talk to you for what you do and trying to get some sense of what this is all about. There's editorial that I'm reading now being written about it. So is there a backlash forming, or is there an anger forming, or a frustration? How do you typify this?
I've seen a lot of backlash around this, especially in comment pages on social media platforms, and as you mentioned, even editorials and articles being written in like major media outlets. So I think it's people are not only frustrated potentially about the changes happening, but about the lack of any real discussion around it, and the fact that, you know, maybe this is what workers also don't want and consumers don't want to see, but we feel powerless as it just keeps creeping into more and more establishments.
You know, I think that the conversations like the one that you and I are having right now, I don't think it lessens the frustration, but maybe your voice and your observations on tipping can maybe lessen some of the frustration that some people are feeling, I guess. Or do you see this expanding ever more? Are more businesses, going to be looking for this way as offsetting some of the costs of business?
So my thought is that it depends what we all choose to do about it, because the incentives really are there for businesses to pass on some of this responsibility. So unless we collectively as consumers, like those who want to see a change in these practices, either start supporting or forming businesses that have different compensation practices, and there are a lot that are frustrated about this and want to create systems with living wages and good working conditions, but it's hard to go against the grain, right? So if we support those businesses, that's one way to make change. And another is to contact your representative or governments that spend a lot of time regulating other things like minimum wages, but so far haven't been spending a lot of time discussing things like nudges used for tipping, transparency around tipping, and whether tipping should be permitted in some or other contexts. So that's, I think, those are the types of actions I think we should be taking in addition to having these conversations to get some traction if people care about this issue.
You know, it's funny, since we're having this conversation, and I'm just having this little private conversation with myself, thinking if I was in a food service industry and if I had a really good operation, I'd have a sign right there at my front door that says, "Notice to my customers, I treat my people well. They are well compensated for the service they bring to your table. Should you wish to give them something more, that is entirely up to you, but we have no expectations at Phil's XYZ restaurant." I think that might go some distance to improving restaurant-client relationships.
I think a lot of people might find that very attractive, and a lot of business owners would want to go that direction. The challenge, though, happens is that the prices then typically go up, and unless customers see like a really nice and attractive rationale that captures the reason why the prices went up, they might go elsewhere, and then businesses face the pressure to cut prices again and use tips. So I think there's some collective action needed and really, really good marketing on the part of companies that want to go against the grain. But it definitely is possible.
Are we still in the mode, and I'm saying this because I do not get out much. I'm just not one of those who's into the evening bar scene, the evening lounge scene, the evening club scene, or whatever. But over and above the product, whether it's beer or highballs or food being delivered to the table, are we still into that mode of operation where the length of the skirt, the attractiveness of the server has a whole lot to do with the business that's being done?
That's something that I unfortunately don't know a lot about. I know previous research has pointed to just the fact that there's some, potential discrimination and changes in the amount of tipping based on things like a person's race or gender. So that's one of the biggest concerns, that it's not really related always to someone's performance on the job, but more on these other factors. And that's, I think, problematic to many workers who just want a fair shake and to be treated with respect and fairly by everyone.
Well, I tell you, do I really like how you package that? Because I think that we're still into that mode where the handsome guy at your table or the pretty girl at your table does a whole lot better on an evening of work than somebody who isn't quite as attractive. And that's where I think it becomes unfortunate, and there's some disparity and some imbalance, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I think certain things, certain behaviors are related to good service, but certain things just aren't, right? And so as a society, do we think it's fair for someone who does some of these or has some of these different characteristics to take home more money at the end of the day? I personally would say no, right? Like, compensation should be fair and based on someone's performance at work. So that's just one among many issues with tipping that I don't think gets enough attention right now.
His name, Simon Peck. He is a University of Victoria professor, teacher, researcher, specializing in tips and tipping. He's at the Gustafson School of Business in Victoria.
This has been the Early Edition Podcast. Catch the Early Edition from 6 to 9 a.m. on AM 1150 and online at am1150.ca.